phone, but there is no law. There's no law determining elapse. Members can use their own discretion, so we are message that. Don't worry, it's got nothing to do with it. Yes, David? That determines the elapse. That determines the elapse. The elapse, yeah. So we can use our own discretion, which makes life quite very easy. And we're going to cut and save costs as well. I'm happy. The people. Look at them. 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 Oh, what? The pigeon must come and sit here. The telephone must come and sit here. The telephone must come and sit here. This is our meeting. It's the portfolio committee meeting.
Chair,
the
chairman of the portfolio.
Thank you, DM. There's no time for caucus. The session is not prepared. Unfortunately, you're going to be exchanging votes then. The telephone, please come and sit here. That is due to respect. That is all. Make a couple link in the exit. Because, DPSA,
Jefferson, what you're saying is that the DM is actually an insider. You want her on the inside?
I want all the digits inside the ring. Inside the boxing ring. Sean has taken the first seat, so he's ready. We should always try to organize a bigger venue, né? Because we, no matter how hard we try, we always get a big delegation from departments. All right. Have you settled, Patrick Kufa? Who's going to be presenting? Yourself or the GM? Oh, okay. All right. Good morning, colleagues, honorable members. You are all welcome. Yes, it's 5 minutes after 10. It took time to settle. Alright, I want to first acknowledge the following apologies. Apology for the PT Minister of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, Manamela. Minister Jeff Hareve. What is this? Can you check what that is? Apology for, who's this? Home in Mother Pien. I can't see the name tag as well. Mende? This one is Mende. Okay. Member Mende is not here. Magula Zulu. Who's Magula Zulu? Oh, Mr. Fewa. Mr. Fewa as well. And that one? Huh? From Gallo. Mr. P. M.P. Gallo. Oh, I'm the Kahalo. But my governor is misleading. You know what? I think it's AFC now, African Independent Congress. What is it, man? Oh, confused. We don't have a Kahalo. Okay. Any other apologies? McLua did indicate that he will leave. Oh, he has left already. Okay. McLua? Any other apologies? Members? None. Okay. We'll start with the Department of Public Service and Administration on the success and challenges of the Batopili Call Center since it was launched in August 2018. If you are ready, the platform is off.
Thank you, Chair, Ministers, Honorable Members of the Committee. We were requested to come and indicate in case of the performance with regard to what we call Gateway Call Center since it was launched in 2013. So in case of the presentation, we'll be able to elaborate what were the purpose and then also the background and also discussion and the way forward with regard to what to build the Gateway Center. We were saying we are requested to come and provide a report on the performance of the particular gateways and tests. Is it functioning? As to whether is it those at your community, as to whether calls are responded to, as to whether programs are attended to. In giving the background, we are saying, but really, it's center falls under the DPSA strategic objective for the APP of this year, also in case of the citizen participation and effective management of the complaints. We've got a complaints management system that we utilize through this particular call center where citizens of the country can be able to phone and indicate what are the problems, and then they will be able to refer those problems to different departments so that they can be able to deal with those problems. And then we were responding to the present call immediately when we started to establish and launch what we call Batubile Gateway. So in response to the President's State of the Nation address of 2018, which committed the CPSA to the public service and ensuring that the government department work closely with the communities. So our strategy is that when we work closely with the communities, we should be able to understand how to involve them in case of dealing with their complaints, and then also in case of the department that we need to repair those complaints to, and at the same time be able to assess the target in case of the communities that are using the lights in case of giving out the complaints. And then also the annual targets were developed for 2013 for citizen complaint and complaints management framework, which was approved by Minister by 2013 by the time. So the framework was approved in June, as we indicate, and then communicated to all head of departments through a circular that was written in July, and it had the guidelines and also the advice in case of the implementation of the gateways. So in case of dealing with the circular issue and trying to popularize it or making sure that all heads of department, the department are aware of this, we had two national workshops which was held to be able to capacitate both national and provincial departments in August. And then also we had officials that were designated from the Office of the Premiers, which we call them OTBs, which were registered by the CETA. So now in case of the system being managed by CETAs, every CETA has got what we call an SLA with CETA that is managing what we call this system of the Batubile Call Center. And an orientation training session was arranged through CETA. And then also a special workshop was held on the 28th of August 2013. And then we've designated officials who operate, manage the call center from the OTBs in preparation for the launch. OTBs is what we call the Office of Premiers, what we call designated officials that are dealing with the issue of what we call the call centers. So what we receive from CETA in case of dealing with this process is that CETA provide us the report in case of the numbers that they received, that's the SLA that we have agreed with them. And then we are saying now the SLA has since lapsed, and then what we have done in case of assessment, we have realized that there are some of the loopholes that we'll need to address. This is why in case of the new SLAs, we'll be able to address those loopholes that we have identified. So in case of the, what you call, when we talk about the limitation, we said the SLA allow the reporting and analysis only on call answering the various, in various languages and excluding the actual issues raised, number of calls logged, and then also we are saying, also the report of CETA focuses on the SLA standard is to answer the 8% of the calls received per month, the number of calls answered within 20 seconds, and emails, faxes handled within 30 seconds. The call center meets these requirements. Now what we are saying in case of the limitation is that the report back from the department to say how have they dealt with the problem that were referred to. We don't get those reports back because in case of that limitation it was not expressed in an SLA. But the new SLA will be able to expose those who deal with that limitation so that immediately we can be able to get the report. In case where there's a complaint with regard to the Department of Social Development, we will see how many complaints were referred to there, and in case of the problem, how it was dealt with, and then how many were resolved, how many were not resolved. In case of the Public Service Commission, how many were referred, how many were dealt with, how many were not resolved. Now, those were the limitations that we don't have. That is why in case of the statistics, we've got only the number of the calls that were answered and referred to different departments, but in case of the report back, we don't have what we call the report back. We had all OTPs nominated officials who were registered on the Batubile Gateway Call Center system to coordinate received by their provinces. And the report by CETA focuses on the following, with the SLA standard included to answer 80% of calls received a month, the number of calls answered within 20 minutes, emails and fax, as we have indicated in the previous slide. The call center meets the above requirements, but the percentage of all call received and resolved coverage 95% and above in the most cases exclude the emails and the faxes. Correspondents and are internal within South Africa and external from sources of South Africa. The percentage is considerably high for the internal calls. So now we want to indicate also that between June and October, the number of calls received have declined from the maximum of 4,000 to 2,500. And then the CIPA report focuses more on the meeting to for the condition of the SLA and less on improving the service delivery. As we indicated to say, our SLA will be able to deliver rate and deal with all those loopholes that we have identified. And then we said we have also revised that, which will be able to include more robust report on issues raised by the public. We are saying the new SLA has been developed, is going to be finalized within 2 weeks. And the new SLA is aimed at addressing the limitation and weak points that approach that I've indicated from the beginning. The revised SLA will be able to include much more robust. It's just I'm repeating the same thing. You say the new SLA will revise and include much more robust on issues raised by the public. And the revised SLA will include the service to the what you call CDWP by accommodating calls and report from active by the CDWs and afford also the Minister of Public Data and Administration for speedy and accurate intervention through the CDW and other government programs. So what is indicated in the new slide, Chair, is that it was not included. We thought our parliamentary officer will be able to include it. We have included a graphic or in case of the number of calls that we indicate also in line with the colors to say how many calls have we attended and then how many calls that were not answered and then how many calls that were referred to the department. Unfortunately, they did not bring that new slide which indicates what you call those graphs. And also those graphs are able to indicate in case of what were the reasons. It's a graph like this, the table like this, which maybe is provided in the, what you call the presentation. So it indicates the reasons. In case of the colors, you say the blue color indicates the call that were offered, and then in case of red, it shows that how many calls were handled, and then also indicates how many calls were abandoned. And then also it indicates the handle rate in case of the percentage. But on the abandoned call, what are the reasons? You find the person is phoning, and immediately when he realizes that he's talking to voice recorder, which indicates that press 1 for this and press 2 for this, he realizes that maybe it's the wrong number that they have called to. And then he drops the call, and then we also report that it's an abandoned call. But also in case of the calls that have been handled, you indicate by the number, and then also in case of the calls that were not handled, you will be able to get the slide. But what we want to indicate, because for our presentation it was to indicate what is the performance rate and also what makes the decline, is that we also want to indicate that when it was launched, it means we had a large volume of the communities forming, but during October when we get the statistics and analyze in case of the call rate, we realize that there's a decline for October 2014. That is why we say a new SLA will sit and may will be able to address those issues after we've analyzed the whole report. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Ministers, and thanks, members of the portfolio committee.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I want you to, before I can open for questions, let me just quickly raise a few issues. Your link between the Batopili principle, because I can see that your key word here is Batopili, so your link with the policy itself. What are the cost implications to run this division? Is it value for money? Because I can see that you just opened a call center that does not even have a link to either local government or, you know, do you have capacity? Because if you open such a center, it would mean that they must have access, you know, to all municipalities. And one thing that I think repeatedly you continuously said is that people just won't and they're nothing. Why do we have to run such a call center? If because really that means there's no value for money. There's no value for money, I will tell you, because of the decline. You said that's a decline, eh? Yeah, because of it, and it's quite significant, because it's half of the callers. In fact, you know, if a person would pick up a phone and call, it's not because of he or she's asking for friendship. They want help. They are desperate. They feel that if I can call this number, maybe I will get help. And you know, I must tell you, you know, there's nothing powerful like word of mouth. You know, it lines because of one kise told Madamin for no I. Mina, niba phone le labantu. Maneta. Then you will see it will go up. I've got a problem with an official. Oh, mina, I found this number. Take it. Niba phone le banneta labantu. Now, the reason the decline is because of word of mouth. That you must know. Don't underestimate it. It's word of mouth. Ah, labantu ba phone le. Nothing happens. Because if there's a hotline that I can call and report on a conduct or the treatment that I received from a particular official. Next time I go there, I expect to see a different attitude, or I should also hear that, hey, so-and-so has been suspended or is undergoing a disciplinary hearing. So, officials are aware that you can report us, and they what, so what. So I'm saying, you know what, we're just creating structures and unnecessary programs that I think they are sustainable and they are also assisting us. Well, I don't know because it's for the first time that we're getting this presentation. Yeah, I'm not knowledgeable about this thing. I'm also new. I'm open to learning. Your conference is that you've conducted. Tell us what was your target, whether you've reached your target, and whether are they going to be annual, or it was just a once-off. People who attended as well, what is it that they are showing? Are you able to go back to them and see if they've already benefited in those workshops? I spoke about the cost implications, the staff as well. Give us a breakdown of your staff. Yeah, I'll pause for now. But for me, you know, I see this as a program that people will regard it as a rapid response. But I don't think it's achieving its main objective. Remember?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I would suggest, when asking a question today, I would strongly suggest that it will be valuable money when you do have a reporting back mechanism, so that we will also be able to monitor the turnaround of those issues after we have categorized them. If it's water-related, self delivery, water-related, housing, sort issues in terms of time and other issues, we're able to measure ourselves so that when we do our customer service satisfaction, also we do have a dashboard that we also measure ourselves in areas of improvement, whether also in with our local government or provincial government, it will help us. Other than being a one-way, but we are not able to say that it also responds whether communities are happy. There will be those ones who will be happy, also those ones who are complaining, because the second level agreement will also help us in terms of turnaround time and also how at a local level or at a departmental level that issue gets escalated if it's not responded to positively, depending on the need of the response should it be checked. Because I think that's a serious gap that we are not being. The other one, Chair. Okay, then it also deals with the issues, because we are able also to say what are the core issues that are raised at the call center level, other than just only reporting the perceived corruption related issues. Yes. Because it will help us. But also, how do you also, when they come to the call center, are they only using the hotline? But also, how many walk-in issues that are raised and how we respond on that one. It will help us to improve our performance, even our ICT performance in terms of communicating with ourselves in terms of their computer system also to cater those issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a couple of questions. The SLA that you are now revising, the original one which referred to 80% of calls received per month, dropping of course to 20%, who came up with the idea that they should only meet 80% of the calls and not 100%? Was it from your side or from the side of the service provider? Because, you know, once they have 20% to play with, they can play all day long. Just want to see that it doesn't recur in the new SLA that you are talking about. So if you look on your slide again, it's hardly surprising that the call center meets the above requirements and standard, because if they have only 80% to look at, you know, for the problem. I just want to touch on something that the chair referred to about the decline in the number of calls. Indeed, decline can be a success or a failure. Now, have you done an assessment as to why it is? Was it because you were failing, not meeting the needs of the people, or because you have been so successful that the complaints in the communities have now run dry? But I think it's important for you to be able to do that, otherwise you can't be able to plan going forward. Just curious, looking forward, you say the revised SLA will include a much more robust. Explain it to me. What do you mean when you say it's going to be robust? What do you mean exactly? What is going to be in this new SLA that will make it better, that you will be satisfied that the money you pay for the service is money well spent from the fiscal? Thank you, Chair.
Is that better? Yeah, thanks, Chair. I want you to know what's the average wait before a call is picked up. I mean, I think we all sort of remember the infamous episode when the call centre was launched and the then minister at the time, the Public Service Administration, called the number and she was put on hold for quite a long time before it was picked up. So what's the average waiting period for picking up calls now? Secondly, and this is just echoing some of the comments others have made, I'm surprised by how few calls are actually made to the centre. I mean, it's not as if there is a shortage of service delivery failures upon which to complain. And is it even worth allocating money to this if so few calls are forwarded? And that's linked to my third question. What is the difference between this call centre and the presidential hotline? Do they deal with different kinds of complaints? What are their clearly defined different mandates, if indeed they do have different mandates? Thanks.
Thank you, Shepherdson. With regard to the SLA, just wanted to check when last did it lapse? And how long actually is it going to take to finalize it? And I'm wondering about what was happening in the interim. Maybe in the answer, to be taken into consideration. The communication is done through 5 languages. I'd like to know which languages are those. Perhaps Zulu is not there. Mr. Carlo has asked, Honorable Carlo has asked this one. And the reasons for the decline. Which centers are most active in which provinces? And are there means that we could do to make sure that these town centers are spread across the country in municipalities, like the chairperson has alluded to? and also check the number of workshops that might have been held between the ESH and 14 as a way of informing the public, because that could put paid to the number decrease to the calls. Thank you, Chair. That would be helpful.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone in the meeting. Although some of my questions have been asked by my colleagues, but I will just go through the two that I think were not clarified. Firstly, I heard the presenter speaking about calls that responded within South Africa and outside South Africa. I'm interested to know the ones outside South Africa, what were the concerns. Because some of the view that the center stated to assist the service delivery in responding to the needs of the people. Now, those outside the country, I really need an explanation of the nature of the concerns or grievances that we might have. Maybe lastly, one would be interested to know whether the callers are updated on the progress of their complaints or concerns, and how long does it take maybe for the finalization of their matters, and are they updated about that? Thank you, Chair.
No,
not on my head. Thank you. Chairperson, I have found this number, which I believe to be the presidential hotline. I've just been listening for the last 7 minutes to this. And my question is just, that is the presidential hotline's music. And there's a... I hope it is. Is it not? So the question is just, why this duplication? Okay, thank you. But can you just think, I think that's the question that Honorable Carter has also asked. What is it? The link. Because the one that I've just phoned was answered by the president. Yes. I can do it again if you want. I thought that's the closest we can get into Parliament to listen to this question.
Sorry. Those kind of comments. I don't think I do those kind of comments. Do not come and sneak in every time we discuss things and sneak in the issue of president coming to Parliament. If you don't want to have a debate, we can have that debate. We can stop all discussion and we can have a debate. There's no laughing matter to me.
There's one question that I left. I'm of the opinion that this kind of initiative must be well marketed to the community because it talks to them. So I want to know the awareness part of it. How do they educate themselves to the communities? Thank you, Chair.
Chair, could you please request? Could you please? Can I request, Chair, to ask? Many of them rest phases after to apologize for the comment that she has made. I'm bringing this because where I'm seated, I'm in control of my emotions through because of the comments that are being made about to the house and all those things. These things are making us sick. And once we decide to lose our temper, this meeting will stop. And we don't want that. Please.
I really don't want this meeting to stop. I think ever since we started this committee, we've had quite a very good relationship. You know, some of the things will be said because some people do have sense of humor, but there are things that we cannot talk about because there are serious debate about them. Honorable Vestazen, I think you have an issue.
about bringing a cell phone into a meeting was totally unacceptable. I tried to warn you and ask you to not to do that, because if the subject matter that you brought before the committee was irrelevant to what we are discussing now, I would please request that you withdraw the statement that you've made earlier on about the hotline. I don't know, I cannot speak your words. I cannot repeat what you said. But Mira did not take that kindly. Please, can you please withdraw that?
Thank you, Jackson. I hope you would accept an apology. I've been brought up that if I've offended somebody, then you ask that they forgive you, and you submit an apology. I don't think these were words that I can really withdraw, but I do apologize if I've offended people, and I would just like to urge them to accept my apology. Obviously, we'd like a coffee here working together, and I want to remain with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your apology is accepted. Member?
Honorable Chair, you have heard the comments of Honorable Wesley Station that told her if anybody is offended, he's apologizing, but just told her words that he cannot withdraw. It's fine. Say those are words that he cannot withdraw. If the minority parties in this first parliament want to play their games, then it's fine. We'll start playing the game. We start playing their games. Because we have never thrown it in their faces when they threw us into jails. When they killed our comrades. When some of these white murderers are still walking around in South Africa. Some still sitting in Parliament. We've never thrown it into their faces. But if you're not continue behaving like that here, we'll start behaving like that too. And we'll ask for these white criminals to be prosecuted. Philip Owen must be brought back from overseas to come and answer for charges of crimes against our comrades. And many of them that have come to still holding positions. That we don't overlook. And then they look there and come and behave like this in this house. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to ensure that the NC caucus, ensure that the NC caucus take these people on. I'm not going to continue like this here. Because I'm not going to accept it.
One question, member. Can we then allow the department to please respond?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, will be able to respond to the questions that were raised, and as you said, in case of some of the loopholes within the SLA, it will disadvantage us in case of voting. As you said, the system is being managed by the CETA. It might happen on the statistics side. I said we will respond to questions that were raised, and then some of the issues in case of the number will revert back in case of writing, because the system has been managed by CETA. That is why we said there are some of the shortcomings that the new SLA will need to address, so that we can be able to give the correct statistics in case of most questions that were raised. The first one that the chair raised is that what is the link between what to be a principle and also in case of this hotline, what to call what to be a gateway. Is that if we look at the background, is that we have signed what to call a public service charter, which was an agreement between ourselves and Labour. So now with regard to that, we have committed ourselves and Labour to say we need to work together so that we can be able to service our communities together. So immediately when we launched the public service charter, we have also launched this particular gateway in case of dealing with the problems and addressing the problems. It was together in Labour to say that we need to be together in case of resolving the problem. When you look at the public service charter, most of the time we talk about how the public servants should be able to hold it themselves in case of dealing with the communities, and also the issue of the value of money, and also the issue of how do they deal with the problem and addressing, and also if the problems are not addressed properly, how do they redress in case of going back to the communities and say, we were not able to address this problem in time. We really apologize, but this is what we'll do in order to be able to resolve the problem. So now, this one is where the direct lines between ourselves and the communities, where the communities can be able to raise their problems. But it's across the public service, it's not only within one department, in case of any complaints that they want to raise. Now, that is why we say, it's improvement of the service delivery, but this one is a complaint management to say if they are not served well, where should they complain? They can be able to utilize this line so that they can be able to complain to us, and then we can be able to refer the calls to the right department that they are going to deal with and immediately get a solution in case of dealing with that. The cost implication, Jay, is that it's the budgeted amount within the department that is... Okay, it's the DG was the cost in case of that, it's within our budget, which is 5 million per annum that we are running this call center. 5 million. Thanks, Chair. In case of the decline, I think the question comes from the Chair and then various members of the Portfolio Committee for us that question. So to us, as we are saying, is that maybe the shortcoming is that the report mechanism does not come back to us so that we sit down and analyze as to where the problems that were referred to the departments were dealt with. And at the same time, do we go back to the community to say this is how we have dealt with the problem. So we are saying in the new SLA, that is why we have indicated to CETA to say we will need a report in case of those departments that have dealt or the complaint that have been referred to those departments to say this is a complaint that has been referred to social development. How was it dealt with? Was it signed by the DG of social development? And then in case of the complainant, have we referred back to the complainant to say this is a feedback in case of dealing with those problems? It might happen that it has caused the decline, because if we said within this period of 2013 to 2014, it's where we were assessing. We can take it as a pilot that we have done after launching the public service charter and also launching this. And immediately because of the assessment that we have done, we have realized that there's a decline. That is why we have acknowledged that there's a decline, and then we said, how do we fix that matter? It means we should go back and look at our strategy in case of the direction that we want to take to say this is how we want to deal with, so that we can improve on the shortcomings that we have identified on this Batupele gateway. The report of problems is the same thing that we said. We really don't receive the report back in case of how the department has dealt with those problems, which become part of the shortcomings that we said need to be addressed, so that we can go back to the department, get a report, and be able to go to the person who has indicated to say these are the problems that need to be addressed. The value for money, that is what we have indicated here to say in case of assessment period, we will indicate in case of the clear to say how many have we spent and then what is the value for money, and then in case of the service that we render for the public, is it really the communities benefiting out of it, and then at the same time, what is it to improve on that so that they could have a value for money. If there are problems, what is the redress that we can go back to the communities to say we are really sorry that you have launched or raise your problems through this call center, but at the same time, many of them have not been addressed. The question will say, how many issues were raised? I think it is in case of the complaints. So that is why we indicated in case of the statistics to say, most averagely, from 4,000, we were getting something like 2,400 calls that were recorded monthly, and there was a decline, and then each and every one, it indicates the complaint which has been referred to the department, but in case of the report from the department is where we don't have that, and then that is what you said, we will fix it in the new agreement that we are going to enter with CETA in case of the improvement of the system, and also how to handle the complaints and report back to the complainant. The 80% in case of the rate, who determined that? It means ultimately in case of immediately when you start something, you should be able to put a target for yourself to say, you can't say 100% at the goal, because by that time you need to popularize it. You need to make sure that the communities are aware about it. You need to make sure that there are a lot of workshops and engagement on it. So thus, we did not put the 100% at the rate. We said 80% should be our percentage in case of dealing with the problem. And if there is an improvement, we'll be able to increase our target in case of making sure that it's now towards 800. This question is dealing with also the decline. We've also tried to explain what's the decline. And the Honourable Member did ask to say robust. What do we mean by robust? It means we want the SLA to be able to cover all those shortcomings that were identified during the assessment period with regard to this call center. So now ultimately, as we said, it was only limited to the number of calls, and then also limited to the number of calls that were handled, limited to the abandoned calls, and then also limited to the number of complaints that have been referred to the department. But at the same time, in case of the report back, we did not have the system that was put within the SLA. So we should get the report back, number of complaints that have been handled by social development, number of the complaints that have been resolved, and the complaints that have been answered on this matter. So now those, this is what we talk about, the robust to be able to address those answers. In case of the coverage, most of the time, even when you talk about service delivery improvement plan, at least the phone should ring thrice. 1, 2, 3, the person should be able to answer that call. So now if it rings for a long time, now it becomes a problem to ask. In case of the measurement of time, it means at least 3 to 5 seconds is enough for the call to ring and the person to be able to answer that. On this one, this is where we said we've got an answering machine, which is recorded in case of dealing with the problem and give you the options of the numbers in case of referring that. So now that is why most of the time you will find a little bit of the music and then it's been answered. Even if there's a problem, that is what we have recorded to say, these are the problem of the answers of the phones that have been answered, the one discarded, the ones that were not properly handled. But we gave the reasons to say, sometimes it's because a person realized that a phone, a wrong number is not where I wanted to go. What is the difference between the presidential hotline and also the Batupile Alvi Center? And then how long has this SLA lasted? We said during September, but we said by October, we tried to finalize that, and then we said in 2 weeks from now, we said that the new one will be finalized, the new SLA, which will be able to allow us to be able to address those problems that we have encountered. We have indicated in case of the number of workshops that we had, the question was raised to see how many workshops did we have. We have indicated that we had 2 national workshops that was held to capacitate both the national and provincial department in case of the handling these call centers or particular gateways. And as we said, when you look at an increase of the assessment period, it's only from 2013 to 2014, which already is November during this assessment period, that we need to look at as whether how do we really popularize this particular gateway and the call centers in case of going back to the communities in dealing with this, what you call the complaints.
Chairperson, if I can just deal with a few other issues that were raised. I think the first point to make is the introduction of this hotline in 2013 was linked to 2 other initiatives that the department was working on. The one, as Dr. Mahapa has indicated, was the service charter that was launched in August 2013, and I think it was the Honourable Cab. I think it was right in terms of the launch, the date of the hotline was launched. It was the same day when the which I think was launched by the Minister for Public Service Administration. So the idea is that you have the charter and it says this is what we all commit ourselves to. And then the second part is then if members of the public have concerns about the commitments made in the charter in terms of particular principles being implemented and so on, what mechanism do they then use to raise these concerns? Hence the introduction of this hotline. A further mechanism linked to that is the complaint management strategy that the department was finalizing at the time. And this is where the link with the presidential hotline comes. When the presidential hotline was launched, the understanding, and this is something the president said actually in the launch itself, that the presidential hotline will not replace complaint management mechanisms in government. That the expectation was that you will have departments, municipalities continuing to handle complaints. But then you have a system which is, in the words of the president used in the launch speech, a last resort. So if people complain and their complaints are not dealt with, they have an appeal mechanism, in a sense, through the presidential hotline. But unfortunately what had happened is that because of weaknesses in existing complaints management mechanisms in departments, the members of the public have challenged to go directly to the presidential hotline. And so you see, I'm showing the numbers that we presented, that you see large numbers. So what was intended initially to be an appeal mechanism and a system of last resort becomes the system of first resort, in a sense. So what this one tries to do is to do exactly what the president said in his long speech, that deal with the matters at your level, in terms of the public service, in terms of authorities, and so on and so on, so that it's only those things that members of the public feel were not dealt with adequately, were not responded to adequately by the rest of government, by the rest of the public service, that then get escalated to the presidential hotline. The second issue to make is that it's in a sense this last year has been a pilot year for us because it was just recently established. Even the budget that we made for it, that was a budget for setting up the infrastructure and so on. And the expectation is that as we go into subsequent years where we are not investing in setting up infrastructure anymore, that the cost will no longer be at this level and they will come down. So that will also explain some of the teething challenges that we've experienced. And as Dr. Mabo was indicating, the focus now is on having learned these lessons from the first year of piloting to strengthen implementation through strengthening the service level agreement and also improving awareness raising mechanisms. The way we have been doing it is that through our own campaigns in the department, for example, when we do interviews on community radio stations and we talk to members of the public and they say if we have further issues to raise, how should we raise them? We'll inform them that there is a hotline that they can use. When there are engagements between the minister, deputy minister and members of the public as part of public participation programs, that number also gets made available. But the focus now will be on strengthening the LLA, the implementation of the program, as well as the awareness raising mechanisms thereof. The question was asked about calls from outside South Africa. I think, and it might be the experience that the other hotlines have as well, that they sometimes get used for reasons they were not intended for. So somebody from outside South Africa wants to make inquiries. It's not a complaint about service delivery. And they see a facility that is available, and then they call to inquire, how do I go about doing the following things? So that is the kind of thing that you will get in terms of callers that are from outside South Africa. I think the other one, Dr. also had a question about call centers in provinces. The one we have, it's a centralized one. It doesn't have, if you have branches in provinces, so people call from wherever they call, but then they go directly to the central, a call center, where the calls are dealt with. I think it is possible, that, and I think that's what's probably happening, that in provinces as well, you'll have premier's offices having their own mechanisms that they're using for this purpose, which in my view is in line with exactly what the president said, that dealing with these issues that you are levying. But let's allow the system that has been established, the presidential hotline, to be available so that people know that they can still come to the president and raise the concerns that they have where these matters have not been dealt with adequately by department. I think quite hazy questions that relate to impact and telecom money, we haven't gone back to that yet. But that is part of the work that we'll do going forward, having moved beyond the pilot phase that we have had during 2013-2014. I think those are the issues that I wanted to add, etc.
You did not tell us if this is the program has a value for money or not. I've also expected you maybe to also give us a short breakdown of the staff complements or so. Do we need it? Does it help in terms of improving services?
Well, Chairperson, I think as I indicated, because we just had 1 year of running this, we have not gone to the stage of impact assessment. Yes, that's part of the work that we will do going forward. In terms of the number of staff, the arrangement with us is that these are staff that are employed by FITA themselves. So all we do from our side is to deal with them in terms of the service level agreement to say this is how much it will cost. No. It is our program with FITA as a partner. From our side, we have linked people in the department. The rest of the call center operators are with FITA. From government side, it will be us in terms of managing this program, and then the liaison people in offices of the Premier who are employed by offices of the Premier. But when it comes to the actual call center operators, these are people that are employed by FITA as part of the service level agreement that we have with them.
All right, thanks. Members, are there any further comments? Dr. Ndambele?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. One appreciates the effort to help people with their progress and so on. But, Chair, one would like to see some more well-coordinated effort between municipalities, PMIA, and the department. It will also help a lot with regards to the time response to the problems. Because I think the time response has also to do with the reduction of numbers, where people may be just frustrated to say, I've been trying to get hold of people for quite a long time, there's no response, or they're not come back to me, and so on and so on. So I'd really appreciate it if we could try to make sure that municipalities get involved as much as possible. Because when you look at the type of services that are being offered here, most of them are the type of services that you get in any municipality. People raise the same problems at municipalities. 7 out of 12 that they have, or 13, are there in the municipalities. So definitely people do use municipalities for the same purpose. So there should be coordination between all these levels so that those people out there get their responses as quickly as possible. Thank you very much, Chair. But also, can I just add one thing? I'd like to thank you very much. The awareness campaign. The awareness campaign also it could be improved so that people know, that ordinary people should know what exactly government is offering from municipalities upwards. Thank you.
I think that was a comment, more of a comment. Okay, we'll give you some time. okay, that's all I can say. We'll give you some time to go and implement the program. All right. Should we also find time in our busy schedule? We'll try and visit the center. Okay, all right. But, you know,
Honorable Murabi spoke about something I also missed if you did respond on his question, to say awareness, you know. I've never heard about this myself, being at this level. What about ordinary people out there? Your publicity, where do you do that? You know, I miss that. Maybe you also need to improve on that. Not necessarily, don't respond to that, but you want you to improve on that. All right. Thanks. And maybe the person must speak about it in the opening of Parliament next year. I hope we have a good story to tell about this. Why is that? Because I think it's in addition to other, I think the president must also speak about it, just to raise awareness. Don't you think it will be part of your marketing? Okay, all right, thanks. Thank you very much for the presentation. You are restricted. Can we then quickly deal with the second agenda item? Briefing by the Public Service Commission on the success and challenges of anti-corruption hotline cases. At some point, I would want to see a situation where Public Service Commission, Department of Public Service and Administration and Monitoring and Evaluation talking to each other, especially on issues, common issues, like this one, how do you complement one another, and at some point, oh, you're sitting at the back, you're not busy. Yeah, I think at some point, maybe this relationship must start from today, if you've never had this relationship, I think it must start today. I will tell you why. One is that you should avoid duplication, and try and see how best can we complement one another, because at the end of the day, you may find that we only need one call center of government. You know, we don't need different parallel programs that are running at this point. It's just a waste of money and decision. I'm happy that Mr. Phillips is agreeing with me. But at some point I'm saying, as we plan, we need to also look at that possibility. Are you ready, Commissioner? You're welcome. Are there any apologies from the Commission?
We
that you want to bring before the attention of the committee?
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, we are having an apology from the Deputy Chairperson of the Commission, Mr. Advocate R.K. Susan. I will do it today. We will assist with the comments and questions. Okay, we are going to make a presentation to the Portfolio Committee about the challenges and successes of the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. The outline of the presentation is as it stands. I think we will go to the presentation itself. In terms of Section 196 of the Constitution, the Public Service Commission is mandated to promote the values and principles governing public administration. One of these values, that is Section 1951A, is to promote and maintain a high standard of professional ethics in the public service.
Marcus, can we skip all that? Let's go to business. Keep the objectives. Let's go straight to the challenges.
Okay. And we also skipped the steps. It's not there. Then let's go to slide 6. Okay, I'll skip that. I'll just give the committee so that they get to know how many calls did we receive since the inception of NAC. That is 261,780 calls have been registered on the National Anti-Corruption Hotline as of 30th October 2014. Out of these calls, 21,397 costs were generated for possible investigation, and out of these 21,397 reports, the PSC referred 40,992 cases to national and provincial departments and public entities for investigation. Since the inception of SNAC and the public's, since the inception of SNAC from September 2004 till October 30th, we have received feedback that is of 10,802 cases, that stands at 72%. Then 119 cases were finalized and closed. Currently we are having 6,873 cases outstanding, and 841 cases were reported during the financial year 2014-2015, while some cases from these outstanding cases date back to 2005. Then there is the stats there, I will not go through it. That is where we have the breakdown of the 6,136 cases that were referred to national departments. Then we have the stats of the cases that were referred to provincial departments, that stands at 5,983. Then we have the status of the cases as of 30th October 2014. With public entities, the color they red is not supposed to be red because they have initiated investigation at the stand at 98%, and even their completion of investigation also stands at 97%. Then we'll go to the stats. Disciplinary processes concluded and sanctions implemented as 31st March 2014. A total of 3,439 employees were found guilty of misconduct related corrupt activities since the inception until 31st March 2014, of which 1,694 employees were dismissed from the public service, 438 employees were fined, 63 employees were demoted, 913 employees were given final written warnings, and 331 employees were prosecuted. Then we will just give the committee the guidelines of how we deal with this in managing feedback. Where departments are awarded an opportunity to provide feedback to the Public Service Commission on progress made within 40 days after receipt of the report from the Commission, then departments are required to provide feedback on the following information: acknowledgement of receipt of complaint, investigation initiated when the investigation is completed, and also they have to give us other milestones indicating the level of progress. Once the PSC is satisfied with the nature of feedback provided, it's then that the case will be closed on the case management system. Then we have some proposals that in order to strengthen the provision of feedback and to minimize delay, the following are proposed: that where the allegation is no substance to allegation of alleged corruption, the investigation report should be provided to the Public Service Commission within 40 days, and departments have to conduct full investigations into allegations. And when that is done, the report has to be provided to the PSC within 90 days. Where a disciplinary hearing is conducted, the full investigation report, the outcome of the disciplinary hearing, letters of confirmation of the recovery of money, or the implementation of the outcome of the disciplinary hearing, if any, should be submitted to the Public Service Commission within 30 days after completion of the disciplinary hearing. The Public Service is also improving the reporting format to make provision for reporting on the following milestones, that is, as I've mentioned, acknowledgement, investigation initiated, investigation completed, disciplinary process initiated, and also disciplinary process concluded and sanction implemented. Then, as the Public Service Commission, we are going to increase our investigative capacity by working with other agencies like the SIU, IMC, Technical Task Team on Anti-Corruption, and make use of these agencies for more comprehensive data. Then, the challenges are as follows. You find that in the report, when you have to refer it to the department are unable to initiate investigation due to that the lack of sufficient information supplied by callers. The call center agents have been trained to interrogate whistleblowers to provide comprehensive information relating to the alleged acts of corruption. In many instances, whistleblowers are unable to provide sufficient information or documents to substantiate the allegation they make. Many callers prefer to remain anonymous. Anonymity impacts negative on the investigation of cases as whistleblowers cannot be reached to verify or provide further information. Then the other challenge is protection of whistleblowers and investigators. Incidents have occurred when whistleblowers have been intimidated by EAs and senior managers when reporting corrupt activities or emanating from the investigation or cases of alleged corruption. This undermines the efforts to prevent and combat corruption effectively. Perhaps the lack of protection of whistleblowers is the key reason why many callers prefer to remain anonymous when reporting cases. Finalization of cases by departments. In terms of the lab protocol, cases of alleged corruption are closed on the case management system of the National Anti-Corruption Hotline when the matter is being investigated and disciplinary action is concluded. Previous studies of the Public Service Commission into the investigation of the cases have shown that departments generally do not have adequate capacity to investigate cases of alleged corruption referred to them. Some departments also do not maintain a database of all cases received from the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. Although feedback is provided to the Public Service Commission, follow-up has to be made to ensure that substantiating evidence supports department's findings. Then possible solutions. Addressing fraud and bribery. Departments should periodically conduct targeted procurement audits of selected projects to identify weaknesses and malpractices in procurement processes. The risk management plans and fraud prevention plans of departments must be updated to address the risk identified. Management of corruption risk. Each accounting officer must specifically focus on and analyze corruption risk as part of the risk management required in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. The public service will continue to conduct targeted visits on cases of alleged corruption reported to departments. Here we look at the rate of feedback that we receive from a department. If we see that we don't receive feedback, then we visit that department. In conclusion, the National Anti-Corruption Hotline is designed to enable members of the public service and public servants to report any form of corruption. The definite challenge of the NAF is to maintain the level of participation and confidence of whistleblowers in the hotline by ensuring that effective investigation of cases is done and there is timely feedback to the callers. Then they assess that 120 cases of alleged corruption are referred to departments for investigation on a monthly basis. Therefore, departments should improve their responsiveness by having adequate and appropriate capacity to investigate cases of corruption reported and referred to them. Heads of departments should ensure that cases referred to them are part of the audit scope of their departments, and that internal auditors within departments should conduct annual performance assessments on all cases of alleged corruption referred to departments for investigation, and that the PSC will engage the Auditor General to facilitate the inclusion of the cases referred to department in its audit scope. And lastly, that we will continuously engage with the Portfolio Committee to strengthen its oversight and provide it with information to hold departments accountable on cases of alleged corruption referred to them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mangopi, for the presentation. Mr. Tedipus, you know, if I was at your level, I had your powers, I would close down the hotline. You could at least this one, there's life on it. But maybe take the resources and train public servants. You see the 5 million invested towards continuous training engagement, because I think to a certain extent, you know, our public servants, they need that. I would say Mbuselo, revival, you know, on issues related to Batupili, ethics and all that, you know. I'm just speaking aloud, because if you have listened to the first presentation and the second presentation, the second one, it is for the recent survivors. I don't know, because of it has been established long time ago, but I also don't see what as a government want to also try and compete. Yeah, but so at some point, I really want to urge you to try and see the best solution to this whole thing. Mkosi, thanks for the presentation. You're doing well in Provence. I hope I'm correct. And then you're saying it takes 40 days to find out that in cases where there are no substance or what, I don't know, the 40 days and the 90 days, can you clarify? Because that one you said it takes 40 days if in a case where there's substance and 90 days in a case where there's no substance, why is there the difference? But I'm happy at least at national level you're doing this. I'm quite pleased about that. What is your state of readiness in terms of cascading down the program to local government? Are you having any plans? Are you ready if tomorrow you can wake up and say, local government, you also have the right to go there, or you must work with local government? Are you planning to do that? Hey, whistleblowers, I think people will always want to remain anonymous, you know? Because people don't want to be victimized simply because they will not be protected. So it's an issue that I'm going again. And that we also need to talk about whistleblowers within public administration, protection of whistleblowers. It's also a burning issue that we also need to discuss at some point. Do you have any relationship with the Office of the Public Protector? Have they ever referred cases to you? Or have you referred cases to them? What's your working relationship? Maybe lastly, the role that the portfolio can play in enhancing the work of the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. Those are a few comments. Okay, I'll start from Ms. Homer to the last member, Mwabe. Sure.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think I need to start by saying that let me appreciate the presentation and the status in terms of the report, that's why. Two, Chair, I think I need to say this. This pre-94, this decade was not there. This government came up with it. And I think from whatever we discuss, we must move from that appreciation. It doesn't mean that it was not happening, Chairperson, but I'll just leave that with a side issue. Chair, building up of some of your questions would be that the relationship of us, PSC now, with the provinces through quota, so that we use that one, the road towards municipalities, because I don't want when you respond you go back to the pebbles, because there's another way to go to municipalities. Secondly, Chair, for how long has PSC been handling the call center as it may? Because also when we measure and the proposals that we are saying that you're going to be doing this, although we have cash on to when are you going to be implementing, introducing the new improvement that we have been talking about, acting Chairperson. The third one, Chairperson, is there any or is somewhere any information in terms of categorizing the reported cases and their conclusions? I appreciate that if corruption in our everybody's mind is linked to supply chain, financial corruption as it may, but also even not media work is supposed to do, is corruption, because we get paid for doing nothing, but there is a process on that, and I'm just saying it, so that we link those issues also to see whether which departments and processes share, who fail perpetually also to comply with all the standards that we have in terms of good practice of public service, as it may. Do we have any in terms of also the turnaround? Because it's a fact that we've been also complaining to say that the pace that we tend to take to finalize disciplinary cases, it has to be more open-ended, i.e. you find people, it's alleged, because I don't have a specific example for now, to say official A has been suspended for more than 18 months, and however is getting money, is still getting paid, while somebody else is getting paid for that. But I'm saying that, do we have any service level agreements? Because in the last committee, two committee meetings, I think it was which department? I can't remember the department that we invited, those five departments that we invited last week, but it was not housing. It was public work. It was public work that was complaining about the disciplinary and the penalties thereof and the judgments thereof. To say how long does it take then? Do we have any service level agreement to ensure that those cases are really concluded so that we do save some money, Chairperson? Other than that, I hope there are actions and progress to improve this project is going to be implemented within a time frame so that we can also do the oversight properly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple of quick questions. The I don't have pagination here, so I don't know what page it is. But with reference to currently there are 8673 outstanding cases, and you make at the end there you say why some of these cases date back to 2005. What's happening there? Anything been done? Why are they taking so long to resolve? The other question is about where there is no substance to allegations of alleged corruption, investigation reports should be provided to the PSC within 40 days. What's the duration now? What's the time frame? If you want to bring it down to 40 days, what's happening currently? The other thing has to do with the possible solutions and your conclusion. I recall that at one of the presentations previously, one of the complaints that the PSC has is that they don't have enforcement powers. And so you're making proposals here, possible solutions. What can you do to make sure that, for instance, people, the management, you know, do things, they do the risk management stuff. But normally, under any system, people who do management of finance would have a risk management system in place. In our case, or in the case of government, they have to follow the PFMA and stuff like that. But you refer to the Auditor General, but the Auditor General has got a lot of work already. So what can you do to make sure that the departments do the things that they should do so that you can catch corruption before it happens? Thank you.
Chairperson, may I just ask three questions. The first one is the position of whistleblowers. You know, whistleblowers are often ostracized. They are not often valued for their contribution. They are often seen as troublemakers, etc. And many of them eventually resign, some citing occupational detriment as a reason, etc. Obviously, that is a culture that we need to address. And my question is just, is there, within the public service, dispensation, is there good practice, examples of good practice, where we, for example, protect whistleblowers over and above what the Act requires, for example, by moving them to other government departments, putting them in positions, perhaps, with forensic units, etc., but where they can, with you know, the existing salaries, etc., be utilized in other fields. The second one is, to what extent does the performance agreement of a senior manager cover also the senior manager's support of anti-corruption measures and the speed and the seriousness with which such measures are pursued in the department? And then my last question is just, to what extent we developed good practices, best practices, in terms of, for example, the order of an investigation. Some people say you cannot or you should not have a disciplinary before the police have concluded their investigations. But we also know that some of those cases are being dragged on for years and years, and many of these public servants are appointed only on a five-year contract, etc. And before the police have been able to conclude their investigation, the five-year contract has already run out, etc. We also know, for example, of people who've been on suspension for many, many years, and it seems to us, as if, to me, as if some of these people, once they're on suspension, nobody's really pursuing. So people are getting huge amounts of money for sitting at home, while perhaps they might have been moved to another position where they would not have been able to influence witnesses or to continue with the corrupt activities that have been alleged to be involved in. So to what extent have such good practices been developed and also been promoted within the public service? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I've got a number of questions. Firstly, in a written reply to a parliamentary question last year, then Minister of Public Services Administration, the USSUDU, said that based on allegations made to the hotline, corruption had cost the state 91 million rand in 2011-2012 and 53 million rand 2012-2013. What is the figure for 2013-14? She also said that a total of 1,002 officials were found guilty of misconduct related to corrupt activities reported to the hotline during 2011-2012 and 2012-2013. What is the figure for 2013-2014? Thirdly, in 2013, Mr. Sisulu said that investigations by the hotline resulted in the dismissal of 939 officials between the 1st of April 2011 and the 31st of March 2012, the suspension of 25, and the issuing of final written warnings to another 25. What are the latest figures in all of those regards for 2012, 2013, and 2013-2014? I don't get a very clear idea from page 11 of your slide on the overall trends. I think you talk about the 10-year period. I'd like to know, is the number of employees found guilty of misconduct, fined, demoted, given written warnings, prosecuted, going up or going down? Next, on page 12, 12, you talk about cases that fall outside of the mandate of the PSC. Can you just give us some information on exactly what kinds of cases those are, what falls outside of the PSC's mandate insofar as the hotline is concerned? Next, last year too, Minister Sisulu talked at the time about establishment of an anti-corruption bureau to investigate corruption-related cases in the three spheres of government. And one of the ideas to do with this bureau was the establishment of a central database of offenders and public servants found guilty of serious corruption cases who would be registered on the database and then blacklisted. Could you provide some information on the latest to do with that? And then, not so much a question as a general statement, I think it's important to view the anti-corruption hotline as important as it is, as it's part of a broader package of anti-corruption measures, which include some of the things that this portfolio committee has been briefed on earlier in the year, the accountability framework, the stricter rules pertaining to civil servants doing business with the state, restraint of paid agreements for senior civil servants and politicians at all levels of government, and then, as one of my colleagues said, improved protection of whistleblowers. Thanks.
You missed the boat. Some of the questions that you've raised, in fact, were more relevant for the first presentation. I hope the DG was the anti-corruption bureau. It has got nothing to do with this.
I'm just placing the wider context of anti-corruption measures.
Okay. If there are questions that the DG, you feel that they fall within your department, just try another.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, my first question is, how long do cases stay on the roll, let's say, for them to be removed if there's not enough enough substance in the allegations? How long can stay in the register of alleged cases? At times, Chairperson, during the debates, come across cases that one knows of. So I'm just wondering, maybe colleagues will assist here. Do I have a right to know the details of a particular case as a member of the Committee on Oversight? Can I zoom in for a case? Can I make an example to say, I know of a case in Northwest. This is the case. What is the progress? What has been done? And so on and so on. Yeah, I think that will be enough for me, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will have one question in the form of a comment, because some questions have been covered. But I think you partially raised the question. When I was listening to the report by the last presenter, comparing with the first one, I'm of the view that both these wetlands can be merged. I want to check the possibility of that, because to me it says, if you have two separate hotlines dealing with more or less the same, I understand that the other one deals specifically with corruption and the other one, a variety of issues. But it says to me, why do you have one structure with the unit? You have a unit that deals with corruption investigations and the unit that takes general contents of the public within one structure. Why would you have two structures with separate assets? To me, it amounts to wasteful expenditure. Maybe the difference between this one would be the authorized wasteful expenditure. But I'm of the view that it can be merged one structure with separate units. One call center agent can take a call on corruption and also note down the concern of a person regarding the service delivery and then distribute that information within the different units within that structure. rather than having these separate structures with the personnel, budget, and all those things. That's my concession. Maybe that will provide the possibility of measuring these two structures. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Madam, so, okay. All right. I think that comment, Honorable Mwabe, is for future planning. We're just throwing the ideas. We're suggesting. We'll leave this to the DGs, and then they will come up with the best possible solution, because this is just a duplication, and we want to create one powerful hotline for government. But what is important is not only about people just phoning in as if they're asking for friendship. I'm never saying that. I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say. So we want, what is important is that when people phone, they should get a feedback. They should be happy. And they should rely on this call centers. And it should also be a very powerful hotline that will link all three spheres of government, irrespective of the area. If Ukoa, Zulu, Natala in the deep end, people should know that there is call center, a hotline number that I can use for any issue that I have, whether it is local government, it is national, government related, that I will definitely get a fix. So what is important is to build that structure, especially being able to monitor and give feedback. I'm more worried about that. Because I think less than 10 people can take calls. If we do have a good referral system, people can take calls. Then we need more food soldiers who can then make follow-up. Right? So let's change the way we plan. It's business as usual. Remember, this is the motto of this committee. My contract with people, business as usual. Okay, Mangosi, over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, Commissioners, and the colleagues. Perhaps we can start by saying the National Anti-Corruption Hotline that Public Service Commission manages is for the entire government. As it stands, both members of public and the members of public servants do use this hotline to report any case of suspected corruption in where they are seated, and then it is reported to this line. I'm saying this so that we can be able to refer to the issue of local government upfront and say the issue of local government is also already included. In other words, cases that have to do with any local municipalities are also reported to the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. And then the Public Service Commission will refer those cases. Those that have to do with the mayors will refer them to DCOC. Those that refer to the respective officials will be referred to the respective departments of local government in each province through the DGs of the offices of the premiers. So in that way, we ensure that the National Anti-Corruption Hotline is for the entire country, and then everyone can report cases of corruption through that particular line. With regards to the relationship between the Public Service Commission and the Public Protector, I'm sure the leadership of the Commission might refer to it. But I think I can say it upfront that there are cases that when we look at them and then we regard them, that they have to do the Public Protector, we send them to Public Protector to investigate going forward. But I'm sure the leadership of the Public Service Commission will deal with that. I think there was a question that how do we look at the role of the Portfolio Committee. I think the Public Service Commission is of the view that when we bring the information to the Portfolio Committee can begin to look at those departments that do not provide adequate feedback to the Public Service Commission constantly and be able to hold them accountable so that they can be able to provide that feedback to PSC with speed.
the previous commission is of the view that if we do not have this feedback provided by the department or investigation done by the department, we are likely to lose confidence in the system. Because if whistleblowers, wherever they are located in every corner of the country, they have reported these cases, and then nothing is happening with regard to any investigation or action taken against those that they already have reported, surely in future they will be discouraged to report cases similar to that that come to their attention. But if they speed in investigation, they are also aware that those who have reported actions are taken against them. No doubt that people will have confidence in this, and it will also get that government has to take action in it against those that are found to have transgressed the law. Indeed, I think the Public Service Commission has been doing this since 2004, so I think what we have given, this is I think the point that Honorable Somo was saying, that the National Anti-Corruption Team, in fact, after 2004, it was not there before that time. I think, Honorable Mbombela, you spoke about the issue of if you are seated, you are aware of any case, can you report it? According to the protocol, the Public Service Commission can receive a request from the Parliament, the Legislature, the Executive to investigate and receive through those cases through National Anti-Corruption Hotline to investigate any cases. So in other words, if the member of the Legislature here is aware of any possible case, they can be able to say to the Commission, please go and investigate a case that I'm aware of wasted in this area. We can be able to do that. There was an issue around 40 days and 90 days. Currently, we give departments 40 days once we have referred a case to them to provide feedback to the Public Service Commission. And during the interaction with the departments are always saying 40 days is too short, that these areas that we should focus on, and so on and so forth. But that's why on that point we're saying where there are no substances, surely because 40 days should be adequate. Because once the case has been referred to the departments and then they realize that there's not any supporting evidence provided, they should be quick to provide the Public Service Commission with the feedback that will allow the Public Service Commission to close that particular case. But the 90 days is to say, now you look at the case that has been referred, there is substance, you can investigate, but investigate it with speed and provide that particular feedback to the Public Service Commission. And we've identified these two different time frames so that we can be able to hold department accountable. Because if we leave them without any defined time frame, they're likely to take forever to investigate some of these cases. So the commission saw it fit to say these two time frames, 40 days and 90 days, are likely to be adequate for any department to where there's no substance to provide feedback to the commission, where there's substance to deploy and create resources to investigate the case and provide the necessary feedback for the closure of that particular case. I think the leadership of the commission can, the DG can also deal with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. With respect to the issue of the public protector, currently we are reviewing the MOU that we have signed with the public protector because there is an overlap in terms of mandate somewhere. That when we get cases, especially the ones that will relate to EAs and members of parliament, that will refer to the public protector for investigation. And when the public protector receives cases regarding the senior managers within departments, they refer the cases to us. But we want to review that MOU to make sure that we tighten it. Because sometimes there may be duplication of cases, and even people try in the public protector. If they don't succeed, they come to the PSC. If they don't succeed in the PSC, they go to the public protector, vice versa. So we have the MOU currently, but we are reviewing it. And then with respect to the issue of cases dating back to 2005, and then also the question of how long do cases stay on the roll. So as long as the case has been registered on the
central management, case management system. It will remain there until that case has we've got feedback. So when a case comes to the Public Service Commission, we refer it to the department. And if the department has not finalized that case, it will remain on the system. So we'll follow up with that department to ensure that the case is resolved. Sometimes some of the departments would deal with the case, finalize the case, and not report back. And it's only through targeted visits that the commissioner was here spoken about. But when we get there, we find that many of the cases have been resolved, but they did not communicate with the Public Service Commission. And then only after communicating with the Public Service Commission, giving the proof that the cases have been resolved, then we'll move them on a CMS case management system. Now, each department is expected to develop a minimum anti-corruption capability. But when cases are referred to the department, they deal with these cases. So a number of departments, when they get cases, they will ask service providers to investigate those cases, and then they come back to us. And they don't develop this capacity. Maybe this is one of the issues that the portfolio committee to take with the departments, with the ministers, to check whether the department has established the minimum anti-corruption capability to be able to deal with the cases. Because these cases sometimes sit for a long time with the department, simply because there's no capacity in the department to investigate those cases. So I think it's one of the issues that the portfolio committee might take with the department. Because it has been an issue for the previous year since the NAF was established. So one of the issues will be to check with the department whether they've budgeted for the establishment of the minimum anti-corruption capability. Because if it's not budgeted, it can't be done. So I think that is the issue that the portfolio committee can close on. With respect to the Anti-Corruption Bureau, I think that is the issue that the Department of Public Service and Administration can deal with, because that's not the Public Service Commission. So the department is wanted to establish the Anti-Corruption Bureau, and then in the PEM bill there is technical assistance. I don't know, I think that the department can deal with that. No, the PEM bill, actually, it was adopted by Parliament, but it has not been enacted, so it's not an act. I'm saying in the bill, this issue is covered, and I think the Parliament can talk to that. I think Commissioner Gossi can deal with that.
Because you're going to make closing remarks as well. Now, I have a feeling that the reason for all these mentions of other hotlines or call centers is because of this long being in existence, but people did not feel your existence. We are not sent, you know, that's why continuously there would always be a need for you to, I mean, for government to introduce hotlines. Well, I don't know, I'll still wait for a presentation to hear the wisdom behind the presidential hotline. But I still feel that this other hotline was not necessary at all. If you were really doing I don't know. Maybe on that one as well. I think you've also tabled your challenge. But since 2004 to date, you should be a very big institution. So over years, I don't feel that you've managed to grow. And maybe when you speak, also tell us about your future plans. Where do you want to take this unit? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I think certainly the issue of overlap and duplication is a relevant question. But we do have a coordination relationship with the residential hotline. So, for example, last year they referred 383 cases of alleged interruption to the PSC, which then referred them to the relevant departments and institutions which subscribe to the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. But I certainly do think that the Bud Peely Gateway Hotline and the Presidential Hotline is a duplication. But that, I think you said, like, we actually need to sit and talk as a senior officials about how we can minimize the duplication. Just to also indicate, the Honorable Lisoma asked a question about the types of cases that have been reported to the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. We do have information on that. And actually, the major form of fraud that has been referred to the hotline during 13-14 is social grant fraud. But there's a number of other allegations, which include allegations relating to abuse of power by government, irregular appointments, allegations around allocation of RDP housing or related to that, procurement irregularities, identity document fraud, etc., etc. And no, the main complaint is social grant fraud. Social grant fraud is the main form. yes. And then there's general allegations around unethical behavior, fraud and bribery, mismanagement of government funds, and so on. And as has been indicated by the DDG, we do have referrals of corruption allegations which have been made against municipal officials. But the number is relatively low, and I think that's where your question comes in, as to how we can market the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. Of course, that is a big cost driver to go out and market, make people aware that this is a channel through which they can lodge complaints and raise concerns about the alleged acts of corruption. I think the issue of how the role of or the work of the hotline could be enhanced by Parliament, I think it's important to say that if you look at the NDP, it never actually says the Commission must be given enforcement powers. It says that the enforcement of the recommendations of the Commission must be strengthened. And probably the way to achieve that in terms of amended legislation is to require ministers or executive authorities to report to the Commission on particular queries it may raise in regard to various aspects of its work. At that point is when Parliament could come in, if we do have that amended legislation, to ensure that the recommendation of the Commission is enforced. But I don't think the Commission has been designed as an enforcement agency. The issue is to strengthen the enforcement of the Commission's recommendations. I think that's what the NDP asks for, and that's where our focus should be. Yes, Honorable Kado asked a number of questions. Probably one could give all those answers, but we went a bit quickly, so we may just, if you write them down for us, we could. But I think the first one was about the amounts in 13-14 involved in the allegations of corruption. The total amount was 258.3 million, 191 million emanating from allegations at the provincial level and 65.3 million originating from allegations at the national level. But I'm sure the other questions you asked, we would be able to give you that information, because you're just completing the fact sheet, which deals with all the figures that you've asked for. But I'm sorry you went a bit quickly with those. I think those were the the gaps that the Commissioner asked me to fill in terms of questions that have been asked. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and I'm so sorry for coming late, and I'm sure you are aware why. This is just a homework for the DG. I'm seeing a DG with the DPS in the side, on my left-hand side. You know, we need to talk about these things, and it is not maybe, it is the task of the PSC. You go to the media, because this government, which is ANC-led, is charged of corruption and is perceived like not doing anything. And you're looking at the figures, it says there is something that is being done. But you are not telling the public that we are doing something about corruption as the ANC-led government. And we sit here as politicians till 1 o'clock in the morning trying to prove that we are doing something. So all I'm asking the commissioner, tell the world. We can't change the world overnight. The 350 years, we can't change it overnight, but we are doing something. DPSA, capacity of not handling, do something about it. Thank you, Chairperson.
In fact, we always complain about our lack of capacity in terms of research. I'm raising this because of the issue that you've raised. Research and public consultation. You know, I've listened to this presenter. We do consult, the public do talk to us, but we don't have a platform like you say, you know, those things are not raised. We are just quiet about them. It's as if, you know, nothing serious. And because, you know, I've listened, you know, it's not one of the questions to be raised in the house to say, the information that we get, you know, we process that. We don't have capacity.
Chairperson, it can also be your task. Now that the DSC has come and presented, you can hold a press conference and say this is what actually has been done for anti-corruption.
You know, one other thing, DG, for an institution that has been there since 2004, today you're not supposed to come and complain before the portfolio committee. You're supposed to be telling us good stories and with the improved and enhanced technology that we use today, you should be telling us that people are on Twitter, people are on, you know, some exciting stories. But you understand what I'm saying? Bring some life. Don't treat something as a binary issue. You know how powerful this instrument is? It's very powerful. In case you don't know, you don't realize. It's a very powerful communicating. Yeah. In fact, we can, you know, there could be house sitting questions that can be flooded to ministers, you know, to the executive, coming directly from the hotline. So it's a very powerful, bring life to it. So, 2004 to date, how many? Yeah, you're supposed to be saying we are on Facebook. This is how we reach young people. Through SMS, we are on watch, you know? That's the first one. I'm a Norman. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those are the things that we should be hearing today. Not complaints. 2004 to date, how many years? How many? 10. Yeah. And now you're taking other what's like that are competing with you. They're not even supposed to be competing with you. In fact, when you presented, I was like, when did they start? But Mankos is telling a good story. But later on, they said 2004, and Mankos is not telling any good story. Yeah, she's complaining. Users, tell us the portfolio, but we're starting. We're saying there's always room for improvement. We acknowledge what we are doing, but there's always room for improvement. So, you know, when you're given this type of an opportunity for you, you should run in a way that no one can never think of duplicating what you're doing. The reason why there's emergence of anger is because you guys, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So give life to it. We'll support you. All right. Let's move to the presidential hotline. Remain so that we share. It's fine. You can keep your seats. I think Mr. Philip is comfortable where he is. He'll be able to prevent from that. Do you have questions? That's fine. You can remain. But another thing, you know, this intergovernmental relations, we don't feel it. You're not talking to each other. We need to improve that. I think that I'm taking advantage of, because of we are public service, we need to encourage that. But if you guys are at this level, where are you supposed to? Panel only, you are responsible for planning, for monitoring and evaluation. So if at this level there's no coordination, there's no stage, you don't complement one another, instead you try and compete, you know, then it means something is wrong within our public service, and we will never get it right. But we do have an opportunity to turn things around. But then it just came in when we've made such important... Ash, you missed out. I hope... Oh! But there's something that I said about you. But please, there's something that I said about you. I thought you'd never be able to hear. Okay. Alright. Presidential hotline. Let's hear. Sorry, Sean. What's the document?
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members and colleagues. I'd like to start by introducing our delegation from the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. Okay. I'd first just say we have several officials from the hotline here. Although the presidential hotline was started in June 2009, as a mechanism for enabling citizens to talk to highest levels of government. It was formally transferred from the presidency to DPME in October 2011. Our role as DPME is to manage the hotline on behalf of the presidency, to monitor the responsiveness of government to calls coming in on the hotline, to support departments to improve their complaints management and complaint resolution. And there we've had a particular focus on using the hotline to try and demonstrate to other departments the benefits of of interacting with the public, with citizens about their services, getting feedback from the public, and using that information to improve their service delivery. We also analyze the data arising from the hotline and present reports on the service delivery trends emanating from the hotline to cabinet regularly, and reports on call resolution to cabinet and the President's Coordinating Council regularly as well. This slide shows how the hotline works. We have a hotline office at the Union Buildings, and then similarly to the other hotlines that have been presented today, to the first one, we have a service level agreement with the State Information Technology Agency, CETA, and we have call agents located at CETA. Presidential Hotline Information Management System, the technology IT system, is housed at CETA, but is accessed by our people in our hotline unit and also by people in all the departments and in the provinces. So when calls are received, they are logged on the case management system. When it's phone calls, they're logged on the case management system by the call center operators at CETA, and when we receive correspondence such as emails and letters and other sources of entry into the presidential hotline, we log them on using our unit's in the union buildings. Sometimes the call volume is high, and it can take some time to get through to the hotline. In such case, the caller receives a message saying that they can either wait to get through, or they can also send information about their query or complaint via fax or via email through to the hotline. So we do get quite a lot of, we get hundreds of inputs on a daily basis via email and fax and letters, in addition to via the telephonic call center. All the calls which relate to complaints, which is most of the calls, are referred by the call agents to national and provincial departments, municipalities, and public entities for resolution and response. For municipalities, the complaints are reserved to sent to the relevant office of the Premier, which assists us with regard to following up with the municipalities for resolution and response. As I've mentioned, each national and department and province has access to our IT case management system, and they are able to do their cases and record progress online. And each national department and each office of the Premier has specific allocated people who are allocated responsibility for managing presidential hotline cases which are referred to them. Those people are called, we call them PLOs, or public liaison officials, the people in the national departments and the offices of the Premier, and we have trained those people and interacted with all the national departments and the offices of the Premier to ensure that such allocated people are in place, and that they know what they need to do to handle a case, and that they know how to use the IT system, and they know how to they know the processes that they should go through to resolve the case and to record the progress online. We classify cases having been resolved when the citizen or complainant is provided with an adequate response to their complaint. This does not necessarily mean that they were, for example, provided with a low-cost house. For example, if they phone and they say, I haven't had any housing for a long time and I would like to find out how I could get a house. Resolution doesn't necessarily mean that they are provided with a house. It could mean that they are informed that they are in the queue and future plans to build houses in their area. This slide shows our analysis of the calls that we received from the start of the presidential hotline up until the end of August. And I have underlined, sorry, it's up until the end of March. I've underlined the types of categories of calls which are more than 5%, so you can see the main areas that citizens are calling about. So the ones that are more than 5% relate to civic and immigration services, basically home affairs issues, information from government which is asking for very, very basic information such as contact details, for example, labor relations and employment, which is quite high at 20%, social and welfare services, 8%, crime justice cluster 10%, land and housing 15%, education issue 6%, and local government basic services and utilities 13%. Just to give an indication of the types of issues raised in these various areas, many of the complaints in the labor relations and employment category up there on the right hand side are calls about issues relating to salaries, pensions, promotions, leave and transfer policies, and hours of work, and many of them are from public servants. Many of the issues in the land and housing category there relate to requests for RDP houses, request for information about qualifying criteria, registration for RDP houses, some allegations of corruption in the allocations of houses, queries about incomplete housing developments, ownership disputes, issues related to the quality of the building of RDP houses, and the conduct of councillors with regard to RDP houses. With regard to the local government, and basic services and utilities group in the left-hand side, examples, that most of the issues relate to the basic municipal services, electricity, water, and sanitation. Complaints that people don't have electricity or don't have water, and also lots of complaints about roads and the condition of roads. in the crime and justice category on the bottom right-hand side there. Many issues relate to complaints about the conduct of the police and the quality of policing. We have, in addition, there's that category there of information from government to design centers, which is asking things such as basic contact details, but in the other areas there, quite often the callers are asking for other information related to those areas, such as how do I go about applying for an RDP house, for example. So we estimate that about 35% of our calls that we receive can generally be categorized in this broader category of request for information related to how government works, etc. This slide shows the resolution rate. National departments and agencies, first perhaps if I can say that this is data up until the end of August 2014, and by that time, since the start of the presidential hotline until that time, we've received 199,000 calls and other pieces of correspondence, faxes and emails, etc. For those referred to national departments and national agencies, the resolution rate was 92.7%. For the ones which are handled directly at the presidency, which is relatively few, it's 99.98%. And for the cases referred to the provinces, which include the municipality cases, the resolution rate is 87%, or was at that time. It's roughly the same now, slightly improved in the last couple of months. This slide shows what has happened with the resolution rate over time. And you can see that the table shows what the resolution rate was in year one of the hotline, year two of the hotline, year three, and year four. And you can see that the total resolution rate increased from 64% in year one to 94.7% in year four, which is a large improvement year on year. And Jefferson, the reasons why there was this improvement in the resolution rate is that our hotline unit in the presidency and then in DPME, engaged very proactively with departments, particularly with the departments which have a high number of cases, refer to them. And we did a number of things in those engagements. Firstly, we said to departments that they need to have these dedicated people allocated to dealing with it, the public liaison officers. We train those public liaison officers, and we also have standard processes that they need to go through to ensure that resolution takes place. We also use the structures in government, such as COSAD and Cabinet and the President's Coordinating Council, to regularly report on the resolution rate and to show to those organizations the resolution rates of all the departments and to highlight those departments which had low resolution rates in order to encourage them to improve their resolution rates. And it's that process of strong monitoring coupled with emphasizing the relatively poor performers in those fora, coupled with strong support to the departments on what kind of capacity they need to have in place to deal with these complaints and queries, and the processes they should go through to deal with them, which is the underlying explanation for this improvement in the resolution rate over time. Over the last few years, we've taken a number of measures to try and improve access to the presidential hotline and the quality of the citizens' experience. A couple of years ago, we increased the number of call center agents at CETA from 10 to 15 to 5. The call center is open from, 6 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, and there's two shift call center operators, and there's 15 call center operators on each shift. Given that particularly in the early years of the hotline, we had very high call volumes, and sometimes citizens were waiting for a long time before their calls were answered, we introduced a message on the on the hotline that citizens can also send their complaints by email or letter. And it, as I said, we get a lot of emails, letters now. And we've also introduced, in the last couple of years, the process of doing citizen satisfaction surveys. So we got a phone, a sample of the citizens who contacted the presidential hotline to ask them to rate the quality of their experience on the presidential hotline. And so far, the outcomes of those surveys are that 29% of the users rated the presidential hotline service as poor, 21% is fair, and 51% is good. So this indicates, Chairperson, that we still have quite a lot to go to further improve the quality of the service provided to the citizens by the presidential hotline. When we do the customer satisfaction surveys, they rate, the citizens are asked to rate various aspects of the experience with the presidential hotline, and the areas which they rate the worst are communication. In other words, after they've logged an issue with the presidential hotline, how frequently do they get feedback from the relevant department with regard to progress with resolving the issue? And they say generally government is not very good at giving feedback, but communicating back, even if they eventually get an answer. But in the meantime, we're not very good at keeping them informed of progress. The other issue, key issue that they raised in terms of the duration, the length of time taken to respond. So one thing that these figures that I put up here mask is that while those resolution rates by year four are relatively good at 94.7%, the problem that they're not showing is that some of the cases take a long time to resolve. So some of those cases that have been resolved have taken a long time to resolve, and that's a key challenge that we face. And it's coming out of the customer satisfaction surveys as well, that the time taken to resolve cases is often too long. We think that the information coming in to this hotline and to other hotlines is a potentially very useful source of information for departments to get feedback from citizens about the quality of the services and what the problems are, and that departments could potentially use that information to inform service delivery improvements. But what we found is that, generally speaking, most departments don't actually do that. They don't analyze all their presidential hotline cases and their cases from other hotlines and use that analysis to inform service delivery improvements or improvements to their business process, etc. So this is an area that we want to try and focus on in future in terms of our engagement with departments. And in that regard, we're in the process of completing a research project into our database to do that kind of analysis per sector, for example, in basic education, higher education, housing, etc., to say, if we look at all these complaints that have come through, what is it telling us about key issues that we need to look into in terms of our service delivery in these areas and our policies in these areas? This month we're going to the DMA cluster with those research reports, 12 sectors. We've shared the research reports with some of the departments already, with the Basic Education Department, the Health Department, and the Human Settlements Department. Through the DNA cluster process, we'll share them, and in one-on-ones with the departments, we'll share them more generally in government. Once the departments have had a chance to engage with us on those reports, we'll then finalize them and make them publicly available on our website. We have been documenting the experience. I asked my colleagues to hand out. We've brought copies of all the members of the committee of the documents that we've produced. We've got a small booklet called 4 Years of the Presidential Hotline, and we've also produced a video depicting field stories from another citizen who have used the hotline. And these documents are publicly available on our website. Also publicly available on our website is a spreadsheet containing very short case studies of it's actually about 70 stories of people who benefited from using the presidential hotline, which we're also going to distribute. And we're also developing more detailed, longer case studies of the experiences of citizens. Those case studies we'll also share with the relevant departments, because they're also useful in terms of informing departments about problems with their processes and their service delivery, which can be addressed. We do intend to have an independent evaluation done of presidential hotline as part of our evaluation program during the 2015-16 financial year. We've recently commissioned a study with the aim of an independent study of the performance of the presidential hotline and an analysis of how it's doing and how it's operating and how effective and efficient it is. And our motivation for doing that was to use it to produce an improvement plan to improve the performance of the hotline. The improvement, that study is available, and we can make it available to the committee if you would like to see it. It's quite a detailed study. But in summary, the study has identified a number of challenges that we need to look at in terms of improving the hotline. These include capturing errors. The cases are captured by the call center operators at CETA, and the study has shown that sometimes they're making errors when capturing information about the cases, such as mistakes with the classification of the cases in the classification system, spelling and grammatical mistakes, which can result in actual misunderstandings of the nature of the complaints from the citizen, incomplete capturing of information. Some of the call center operators struggle to capture some of the very complex and multi-themed complaints which come through. Sometimes citizens phone and they complain about a large number of issues in one phone call, and it's difficult to accurately capture them in terms of the classification system of the cases. And then the study has also found that there's weaknesses in the quality of the case resolution sometimes. We sometimes get calls related to issues that should be addressed urgently. So, for example, in this study that we've had done, it refers to a case where a learner at a school in one of the provinces is phoned and says that there's a problem of sexual harassment by the headmaster or teachers at the school. That kind of case needs to be escalated urgently. But the study has shown that we don't always escalate those kind of cases consistently. Sometimes some of the call center operators inappropriately resolve the cases. In other words, those calls which relate to information, asking for information such as contact details, which the call center don't need to be referred to department, which the call center operator can answer, just for example, by going to the department's website and getting contact details and giving it to the citizen. The study has found that sometimes some of that information provided by the call center operators is not accurate. And then also the study found that sometimes the resolution by the officials in the departments and the provinces is sometimes inappropriate and inadequate. One of the examples given in the study is that of a call by a citizen complaining about the performance of a councillor in a municipality, and the response that eventually came through from the Office of the Premier in the province was that the municipality says that it's delivering all services according to the required standards, and then that's logged by the province as a resolve call. But clearly that's not an adequate answer to the citizen's complaint. The study also said that we need to increase our quality assurance of all of these issues, such as the capturing and the case resolution, and we need to increase our oversight over the quality and the speed of the responses. So on the basis of the study, which was completed last month, we agree with all the recommendations in the study, and we are just finalizing an implementation plan for implementing those recommendations, and we're going to be changing our case classification system to make it more precise and clear as to exactly how all the cases should be classified when they come in by the call center operators. We're going to strengthen the case capturing processes. We're going to provide additional training for the call center operators and increase our quality assurance processes. We're going to develop rules and standards on how to investigate and resolve complaints. We're going to increase our monitoring of adherence to those standards by departments. We're also going to put stronger guidelines in place and support in place for the call center operators and how to capture cases, and we're going to increase our quality insurance over those call center operators at the CETA. And we're thinking of also, at the moment, all the written correspondence and emails are handled by the team in the union buildings, but we're considering integrating that into the call center at CETA so that our staff in union buildings can focus on the monitoring function and the quality assurance function. We also want to publicize the hotline more. Chairperson, just in conclusion, I'd like to say that we also agree with your assessment that there's a need for greater coordination between these various hotlines. And it's not just the three that have been presented today. When I joined the department, I heard of a study which had been done by people working in the president's hotline when it was still in the presidency, which indicated that there may be as many as 60, at least, of these kind of hotlines across government. If you look at all the hotlines, all the different national departments, for example, Department of Home Affairs has its own hotline. Many of the provinces have hotlines. Many of the municipalities have hotlines. So there's a large number of these hotlines. And I agree strongly with you that there's a strong need for coordination and some kind of collaborative analysis of how we can rationalize this large number of call centers and how they operate and what their various roles should be. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Maybe in my next engagement with the three of you, you should also give us a breakdown in terms of money spent on your telephone bill. Let's see how much money government is also losing. Given the fact that other departments also do have their hotlines. What is the future of this hotline, the presidential hotline? Because it started during the... Can we have one meeting? No, let's just not interpret that one. I'm definitely sure that he was not talking to himself. What is the future of this presidential hotline? Remember, it's a hotline that was introduced during the administration of President Jacob Zuma. I'm correct, right? Do you see it surviving even if the president is no longer in office? The case studies that are there are used to improve service delivery. To what extent are they used to improve service delivery? I don't understand the reason to establish to document all this. You know, this is okay for the president to go and present, but not for you to spend millions. Derek, can you please have 1 minute? Can you second me? Not for you to have spent millions, you know, to develop. Sean, I'm talking to you. A book like this, you know, I'm sure it has cost you a lot. Because I don't think ordinarily any person would waste their time to read about what good you have done for others. They would want to know what is it that you do for them. So I'm just lacking that. I don't think. Well. Personally, I don't think there was a need. I don't know. I might be wrong. You know, you look at the pictures here. You know, this is communicating. Does it say that the white communities, look at the demographics. Does it say that the white communities are satisfied with the government? That's the first thing. So there is nothing to complain about? Or are you saying that they don't have confidence on the front line? Because if you look there, without being racist, I see blacks. In particular, I see only 2 years and 2 Indian women. You know, but one other picture that is very, quite disturbing is a wheelchair. As a person who would understand, I would definitely say, even without reading, maybe this wheelchair was allocated to someone. But an empty wheelchair, what does that mean? You know, what are you communicating? You can't post I don't know. But I'm saying, you know, some of these things, they do have a way of communicating. That tap, I can't see if the water is running or not. But I don't know, what's the wisdom? I honestly speaking, I don't see anyone sitting, wasting their time reading about the good things that we... That is good for the archives, that is good for the president to come and report back, you know. But ordinarily, I don't see Member Selwani in his 2 hour flight to Joburg reading this booklet. Well, I don't know, maybe to a certain extent it will help. Well, the three of you, you have different reasons to exist. But now, as we move forward, let's find a way to avoid duplication. I think you have captured it quite very carefully. You have a rapid response unit. I'll tell you what, if I phone and I phone a presidential hotline, I expect things to happen. At least a minimum of 24 hours, I can be patient for 24 hours, but anything beyond that, I would definitely not have confidence on that. Because if we say something, if we say a program is a presidential, you understand, it's the image of government. So it means when we launch this program, we should be having teams, rapid response teams, in all provinces, KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, in case where people are dragging, we should be able to say, Madam N at 409 called, please go do that. Because some people will just phone for small matters. But you find that their complaints are not attended to. And this is a presidential. So, I don't know. Do we have what it takes? So, I'm repeating again what I said earlier on. I don't think any South African will pick up their phone to call any hotline, particularly the provincial hotline for friendship or just to check how are you guys doing or any other issue. But they will phone because they will feel that I will report you to the president, I'm going to phone the presidential hotline. I will report you to the president and nothing happens. And to a president, what happens to his image? Remember? Which will protect his image. No, through this committee will ensure that we do. Yeah. Our president is so too. Thank you, Chair. I thanks for the presentation, that's one. Two is that I like that the DD also said, I'm sure in the next financial year they will tell us how do they intend that to integrate all these hotlines before they become homeless. So that they integrate these hotlines before they intend to be homeless. Because if they're separate, they're going to be good. But financial and otherwise, human capital that we invest, that goes with financial capital that we invest. That's where I'm coming from. Because also, what we are raising, it's also in line with the minister's financial statement that he made to say that how to ensure that as department also, we cut the cost where it's possible and minimize the duplication. The other part that I would like to hear, which is a question now, Chairperson, is the issue of our relationship with the School of Government in terms of training our hotline operators. Call center, I don't want to say agents, because if you say agents, it's like you outsource them to somebody else. Personnel, even to use what is, I have learned in this world that there's nothing that is common. It's common to you, to somebody else, it's not common. Not easy to think that if somebody needs to have an address, other they turn away just because of the address. They don't know, the personnel doesn't know where to get that address. But if there is using a PC. But also don't forget the PC also, they're limited. Others are not allowed to use the internet. So the limitations thereof. Of having information, not being able to assist somebody else or impart that information. The other one, Chairperson Guji, is my best point and question is to say, have we considered, because if you say the hotline is where there's where we live happily thereafter with the universal coverage. There are areas that doesn't have coverage in terms of the cell phones, but also in terms of the telecom landline. How it doesn't cater in a very comfortable way the elderly or the aged and the people living in rural areas in particular. So I'm saying I would like to hear more how do they, those communities, also take advantage of the hotline.
Yeah.
also the monitoring back of the responses, because the other two presentations and this one, you cannot divorce them from each other. Some of the issues and concerns that we raised previously, I'm sure it's carried forward also. The turnaround time. For an example, through you, Chair, the example that the DG has used in terms of the housing one. A person complains that, I know I'm in the waiting list, but I've been waiting there forever. How do we intend, which is the housing department now, to deal with other related issues that makes that person to wait forever? Without taking an example of one, it raises the but it's an open secret, what also passive reasons could there might be. Slide 4. I know that, let me just quickly, slide 4, it talks to where you use your slide 4, Chairperson, in terms of the graph, the pie graph that we have used there. It's community services, vis-a-vis basic services, and utilities. I just want to appreciate the impact of local government and all of the other one of 1,000. What's the difference between the two? Because even the is promoting a simple environment in terms of the street lights, grass cutting, and all that is also a basic service, because we've got different categories of communities that, if you are in the suburb, housing is not a basic service to me, because I've already had that, like, even I've enjoyed it even before 1984. So the other one, the one would love to also to get how the turnaround of that done, also how do we, the improvement thereof. Other than that, before I ask everything, Chairperson, let me pause there for now. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to the DG from the DPNE and his staff. It's unfortunate, Chairperson, that we do not have the frequency of the calls in the call center. If the DG actually gave us the frequency, we're then going to be able to say the shifts that you've got, the two shifts that you've got. Because if I look at the two shifts that you've got in the call center, and I am looking at the number of calls that you have received thus far, which are 200, and I'm trying to make a ratio there, and I'm picking up that it means each agent in the call center only answered 66.2 calls. Can you just stop disturbing the DG? Because I want you to listen to what I'm saying, because it's very critical. Now, I don't know, maybe we're going to assist today, Sean, because it might happen that the work is being done, but there is something that is short. That's why you are receiving 200 calls. That's too little. 200,000, by the way. It's 200,000 calls. It's too little for a population made up of 50-something million. The majority of them are unemployed. The majority of them are raped. The majority of them are crying every day. So that it signals something. But now I can't figure exactly where it broke because of this information that is lacking. The frequency, your hunting line within the call center. I would go down when I do my proposal on the integrated model that you want to talk about. But your hunting line, it is going to be much better if that hand line, instead of the faxes, let us assume, government department, I agree with you 102%, they don't care whether the letter comes from the president, the municipality, so there's a problem, do something, they'll respond like you told us. They don't care. Now, if your hand line, it says, maybe it's English, Africans, in Lungunis, there's a hand line at the call center that is giving me the choices to take the line, request or whatever. Then it says, your concern, whether it's about the service, whether it's about da-da-da, whether it's about that. If it's about the services, it goes straight to the PSC. Somebody dialed you, but it goes to your call center, which is decentralized, which is sitting at the PSC's office. And if it says it's about crime intelligence, it's yours, it's still yours, but the handline directly gives it to that crime intelligence so that there's a quick response. Now, because your job, let us understand this, and your job is simple. You are monitoring, by the way. You can't be on that monitoring and implementing. If people are not doing that, you need to report them. Now, that is going to assist you to say, there is a DPSA, the services are not being done, because coming to your program, if you're looking at it, just look at it, you could actually see what is the problem. The problem is in the local government, the problem is in labor, the problem is in the land and housing. That's where the problems are. Now, your call center must reroute these calls for agent response, so that when they go to those people, something is being done, because they will respond and do something and give you the feedback. Now, the good example is the 2014-2015 financial year number of calls that they were handled by the PSC, 841. Honorable Chairperson, 841 plus 201, I'm Ostia. There is a problem here. If either our poor South Africans have given up on this service that has been provided or been established by this government, which, after all, as we're not getting help, so that we must just do our work. Even if you call them, they're not going to do anything. This is the culture that these call centers have developed within our communities, and it's sad. Because when they were established for the reason of doing something about it. So I am saying to the DPME, DPME, let us decentralize. When you look at that integrated model of yours, look at your hunting line, look at how you reroute to them, look at how you get the feedback from them, not from you. You have to look at the feedback and say, you know what, they're not responding. And then you direct to those cities of that department and say, colleagues, we are not doing the job yet. There's something wrong, there's something that is happening. Rather than doing that, there's nothing that is going to happen. Now, the sample. You know, when I remember when the president was discussing this vision of him opening this hotline, I remember it very well. He said where he was, where we were all there. One of the main reasons, DG, was to make sure that when you do the samples, you can in the very same hotline put a question where you want the response. Saying, for an example, the HIV response treatment to the account of Buga, you direct you just put that question. You want the response from the people to call in and say, we are not getting it, the clinic is being assessing. That's part of it. Now, as you look at the integrated model, how do you then make sure that that is also being done? As a sample, and saying, and you take the information, you pick it to the appropriate department and say, you know what, there's a problem here. The clinics are being closed. There are 7 clinics, but I'm told these clinics, the sisters are not there, the daughters are not there, but there's a problem. Do something up, because that's, you are doing monitoring. That's monitoring. The website and the emails, it's a very good one. But get somebody, 2 or 3 people responsible to somebody send an email to you, don't even know it. That I wrote it, I'm going to do something. Then become comfortable that at least they are responding. It doesn't mean you're going to respond now, but let's get somebody who's going to respond to those emails. Because the calls indeed, they'll be abandoned because they're high volumes, because they're short staff, because you don't have the money. The integrated model. I like, much as I'm not having the details of the model that you're going to design, but I will say whatever that is going to be within that framework of your model, decentralize it. It must not sit with you. You cannot. There's no way you can monitor and implement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Jay. Unfortunately, I need to run, but I hope to be listening on the recording afterwards to the responses. Just a few questions, and I'll try not to evoke emotions. The first one is, in terms of the satisfaction surveys, can you just tell me, has it been done independently by an independent research organization? Secondly, what is the current budget of the presidential hotline? Sorry, I had to use that word. Then when is an issue resolved? I made a number of calls to this 1777, and in the one instance I was referred to the National Housing Department, the OA 800 number. I fear that one is probably ticked as resolved, but I still have my problem, and my problem has not yet been resolved. And the second time, as you've heard yourself, after more than 6 months, I cut the call off. Is that part of the 20% non-answered calls? I did speak to somebody who then said hold, you know, that kind of thing. Then my second last question is, in terms of call centers, it seems to me that this may be a wonderful opportunity to employ people that are impaired in terms of their mobility, the disabled. To what extent do you employ through this people that have limitations in terms of doing other work? And then the last one is, I've also learned when I phoned this number that you give one various options in terms of language. To what extent is multilingualism a requirement to be employed by the line? It seems to me if you choose English, then your chance of being assisted is much better than when you choose one of the indigenous languages. Thank you, sir. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My questions are as follows. Going back a couple of years, in 2010, we in the DA asked a written question which revealed that the presidency received through the hotline about 485,000 calls, but that of those calls, 675,000 were dropped. In other words, 70% of the calls made to hotline never reached an operator. Is there still such a big problem with calls being dropped? And if so, what are the details? What are the proportion of calls that are dropped? Secondly, and I have solicited a parliamentary question about this already, so it might be coming your way or have reached already, but I would very much like a clear breakdown of the number of total calls, but within that, complaints and queries, as well as resolved cases, logged by the hotline in every calendar year since it was launched. I don't expect that answer now, but it is something I would like to get at some point. Thirdly, I'd like to know what constitutes the resolution of a call. When does a call become resolved? The definition that's provided on page 3 of the presentation seems a bit vague and unscientific to me. So I was wondering whether you could introduce some rigor into that concept. And then fourthly, this isn't a question. I mean, it's more of a statement. It really does seem to me that of all the call centers and hotlines that have been presented today, I mean, this does seem like a little bit of a presidential vanity project, you know, aimed at making people feel better, because notionally they're taking their complaints to the apex of government. But I think there really is a very clear duplication of what the presidential hotline does and the work done by the Batupele call center. Having said that, if this presidential hotline is going to be of any value, because it falls under you in planning, monitoring and evaluation, I think that whatever information is gleaned from those calls must feed into policy planning and implementation. So I was a bit disturbed to see that on page 8 of your slide you acknowledge that information from the presidential hotline isn't actually regularly analysed by departments. You mentioned that there's some special research project on the go to address this gap. Can you provide more details on that?
Chairperson, my question, I had only one question, and it was covered by Honorable Suma, and it was in regard to the community services versus the basic services. So that has been covered. But I just wanted to make a comment, if allowed. DDG, I mean, DG is aware of the importance and the significance of this service. And I just want to make an appeal here that the department should try its level best to make it happen, make it work, to make it valuable. Because this outline thing has become a subject of ridicule to the president, as if it is the president who is failing, that because it is his initiative. So please make sure that that it happens. And lastly, Chair, can I just in your comment when you were speaking to Mr. Phillips, you made mention of after the when the president has gone. Just wanted to make it clear. It's just a pity that the gentleman who goes out, I wanted him to hear what I wanted to say. Yeah. That you actually meant that there will become a time when the president is not there. It's natural. After his term, he will go on. You were not saying he will go before his term.
No.
But that's not going to happen.
No, I
wasn't saying that. Okay. No, I just wanted to make that very clear. He's going nowhere. Yes. Thank you. I was trying to address some of this wild imagination.
Thank you very much. I'm going to make a request that you don't respond and you give us the responses in writing. Given the fact that all of us are scheduled for meetings at 1, the members do agree that we allow monitoring and evaluation and any other. If PSC and the department also feel that there are responses that they would want to respond to, they can then do that in writing. I want to make two comments. You know, Sean, I see this exercise as part of us trying to move towards the professionalization of public service. You know, if things manage properly, and I think we'll, one of the indication that we are moving towards it, you know, it's one of the tools that can be used to actually say we are moving towards them. All three hotlines, they are relevant, they're important, they cut across. Now, what is the possibility of maybe developing a sort of like a billboard or a notice board where all three landlines are there and people know where to phone for what? You know, having three numbers, because now as it is, you will be phone for housing. They will be phone for housing. You will be phone for housing. But I see the presidential at the main hotline. You know, hence, if there are no responses, if people are not happy about it, we will not be happy as the portfolio as well. You know, Sean, I'm giving you this responsibility because you must remember yesterday we had to defend the reason why we have to give you more allocation in your budget. It's part of the reasons why we're giving you more, allocation so that you you increase capacity within your department, you are able to coordinate, and the one critical aspect, you promote intergovernmental relations. Because, you know, people are not talking to, departments are not talking to each other. I don't know where that culture has died. They wake up in the morning, they do their own thing, they compete, they duplicate, we have gone, they've regressed. In fact, you know, at some point, there was a time when intergovernmental relations was emphasized and it was practiced, you could feel it. But of lately, you know, people are doing as they like. So I'm going to make that request that you don't respond to questions, even though I would love to hear the rationale behind this.
You know, Sean's not looking at me. I'm trying to get your attention, and you've been avoiding me. Don't do that to me, please. I want your attention. I want to know the response. If you can just respond, what informs this picture? It's just innocency, or... And my question, only one question. Why are we not seeing more, how do I put it, lighter skins, or why are we not seeing white people? staff members. No, this is not staff members. definitely people who were assisted through this. So if you can just report to that, then we close the meeting. Thanks.
Person, I wasn't personally involved in the design.
I'm asking this because you should be able to defend this.
Okay. So I wasn't personally involved in the design of the book, but I'd like to ask one of my colleagues to respond, please.
Thank you, Chair. The artwork for the booklet and the DVD were approved by GCIS. Therefore, the decision did come through that office. We usually consult in terms of any artwork or any communication, the layout, and the suggestion from GCIS that we then adopted and used.
Thank you.